Tri-County Contracting, worry-free roofing, siding, and windows. To sign up for a free estimate, get info on their worry-free roof tune-up or their free yearly roof inspections, or to get an instant roof quote, visit them online at tricountycontractingwi.com.
Quote, that son of a, you can read it on there, Bibi Netanyahu, he's a bad guy, he's a bad effing guy. He doesn't give a about Hamas. He gives a blank only about himself.
Still going.
He's an effing liar. 18 out of 19 people who work for him are effing liars.
It's like just a rant.
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee, this is Wisconsin's Morning News. Here's Eric Bilstad and Vince Petrano.
The term bombshell is overused in our business when it comes to describing big news that sort of drops unexpectedly. Oh, bombshell here, bombshell there. Very rarely accurate, I think. It's like right there with all eyes on. It's another one of my pet peeves.
When you see it on the graphic, you're like, okay, how much of a bombshell is it?
Exactly. This book, War, by Bob Woodward, is so bombshell-filled, it is tantamount to a nuke. And it is coming out, once again, just weeks before the election, a prospect which we will explore in this conversation, as Eric, not that long ago, sat for an interview with the esteemed Woodward when he was here in Milwaukee. You said that was a year ago?
Last November.
You're kidding me.
Yeah.
Feels like a few weeks ago, at least to me anyway.
Mm.
First to the book and its most stunning revelations, or, in fairness, accusations, depending on who you believe here. You have a favorite takeaway from the book? I've got a lot of cuts. And I'll get to a few of those. And then some are just quotes.
Some are more eye-opening than others.
Yeah.
I was surprised to hear that Ukrainian President Zelensky didn't believe the U.S. when we told him, hey, man, Russia's coming. Like, he kind of was downplaying that whole idea.
Okay, let me get you that. And you know what? I should back up. Before I get into that, let me describe what this is.
Sure.
This is a book that Woodward wrote. It comes out next week, but CNN got a copy already.
It is an unprecedented look behind the scenes at Joe Biden, unfiltered, profane. He likes to drop the F-bomb. We really learn how leaders and top U.S. officials speak to each other and about each other behind the scenes.
So that's Jamie Gangel at CNN. She received a copy of the book. CNN is calling it obtained a copy. I don't know. Did she like thieve it from someone, or like somebody sent her the book?
Right.
Okay, so they would get a whole bunch of pubs.
Yes, this is what happens.
Right. Which it is. Nonetheless, she goes through then. So she's read the book and she is characterizing what she read. So basically it's Gangel quoting the reporting of Bob Woodward. Okay. So that's how we get to this. Now, you mentioned Ukraine. Let me find that spot here. Biden, let me see. Despite repeated warnings, Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky dismissed the idea that Putin, Vladimir Putin of Russia, would actually invade, even after Vice President Kamala Harris told him during a February 2022 meeting at the Munich Security Conference that an invasion was imminent. Harris told Zelensky he needed to, quote, start thinking about things like having a succession plan in place to run the country if you are captured or killed or cannot govern. After the meeting, Woodward writes, Harris said she was worried it might be the last time they ever saw him.
And the reason he was downplaying it is because they just didn't see it coming. And that, remember when that story broke, when the U.S. was saying, hey, here's where they're going to go. Russia's coming. It's going to happen here at this time. And at the time, like, boy, that's quite a coup. Like, they're able to get all that information. Well, it sounds like the intel for that was unbelievable. They even had a source inside the Kremlin. And that's how they were able to get that information in front of everyone. I mean, that was a huge military intel win for them.
Woodward's reporting is that it was tantamount to U.S. military advisors staring over the maps that the Russians has drawn for their invasion.
Yeah, like they were in the room watching them do it.
Other takeaways, these are the more trivial, and then we'll get into some of the more substantive stuff, that President Biden refers to former President Trump in conversation, not as the former president or, as you hear him publicly, the other guy or my predecessor. He refers to him as that effing a-hole.
Yeah, no
How do you think Biden comes off in this?
Hey, he likes to curse.
Throws it around a little bit. Other funny takeaway, Lindsey Graham, senator, who is a Trump confidant and Trump golf buddy. describes going to Mar-a-Lago as such, according to Woodward. Going to Mar-a-Lago is a little bit like going to North Korea. Everybody stands and claps every time Trump comes in. Can you hear Graham saying
that? What a strange comparison.
Like going to North Korea.
Yeah, you can.
Your time president comes in, stand up and clap.
He also told him that he didn't think the president had moderate women. That he didn't think he'd be able to get them on his side for voting purposes.
He's not only been a confidant, but an advisor.
Yeah.
He plays the role of trying to save Trump from himself on the campaign trail. And they say that he's one of the people that maybe the former president will actually listen to and try and adapt. Whole bunch of Trump stuff in here, whole bunch of Biden stuff. What do you want next? You want Biden or Trump?
Whatever you want.
A little bit more on President Biden. President Biden, a fiery relationship is described with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. Listen to how Biden, according to the book, talks about Netanyahu with staff and others.
Furious with Netanyahu, and he says to an aide, quote, that son of a, you can read it on there, Bibi Netanyahu, he's a bad guy, he's a bad effing guy. He doesn't give a about Hamas. He gives a blank only about himself.
Still going.
He's an effing liar. 18 out of 19 people who work for him are effing liars.
It's like just a rant. Jeez.
Well, when you're in the throes of it, I suppose, in the war room, anything goes.
Okay, while we're on President Biden, I'll give you this other cut. This is him talking about what he believes was a failure on his part in appointing Merrick Garland to be Attorney General, because Garland, of course, appointed the special prosecutor to look into his son Hunter's dealings.
Biden is quoted as saying, should never have picked Garland. This is never going to effing go away.
I remember another president who regretted his choice for Attorney General.
Right? It's amazing how that
because
happens.
Of a special prosecutor. Yes, exactly. To the aforementioned President Trump. Probably the most stunning revelation, the one that's getting the most attention, is in Woodward's reporting that President Trump, at the height of COVID, sent COVID testing equipment to Russian President Vladimir Putin that Putin would have for his personal use.
Putin, please don't tell anybody you sent these to me. Trump, I don't care, fine. Putin, no, I don't want you to tell anybody because people will get mad at you, not me. Mm. They don't care about me.
See, that one raised my eyebrows because why would Putin care what people think about Trump enough where he would say, don't tell anybody. I don't care if they hate me. They just can't hate you. That's just that eyebrow-raising moment.
Suggesting that the president of Russia trying to protect the reputation of the president of the United States, something else must be
at play.
Yeah,
what is going on there?
Right. And it's interesting, some of the analysis after that's been suggested is you have two very different ideas of how these presidents, President Biden and then President Trump, deal with Vladimir Putin. Biden, in a number of exchanges about the situation in Ukraine.
They had a Zoom call, Biden and Putin, and had a heated exchange. A lot of rhetoric thrown back and forth.
Apparently Biden concerned about Putin's cavalier nature and tossing around the possibility of using nuclear weapons and those future discussions. So a very adversarial relationship. Former president, as suggested here, a very collegial relationship. So which is better? The Trump camp is saying, like, don't you want your president to be able to talk to this guy on his level and work with him? Or is it better to just say this guy's a pariah? He is, as President Biden was quoted in the book, pure evil and should not be dealt with other than told what to do.
Well, I got to admit, too, I'm embarrassed that I don't know. I'm ignorant to this. But like, is that even legal? I mean, they say he had what? More than a handful of conversations with Putin that Trump did since he's been in office?
That was another revelation stated in the book.
You can do that?
And he's a guy. Right? As a private, can a private citizen, could you call Putin?
I suppose I could.
I suppose you could.
He took my call. Right. I'm not the former commander-in-chief.
Says former President Trump has had multiple calls with Putin after leaving office, suggesting they maintain a relationship. Trump, for his part, denies all of it.
Yeah, he says it's not.
Yeah, he denies virtually everything he is quoted as saying or doing in the book. He spoke with ABC's Jonathan Carl by phone.
He said was that you've had a number of conversations with Putin. Is that true? I mean, I imagine that could be.
No? That's false.
Oh, really?
That's false.
So you haven't spoken to him since you left the White House?
No, I have not.
So much more here. I want to get into the author, the journalist, Bob Woodward. Eric had a chance to sit with him and ask him a number of questions when he was here in Milwaukee. What is his motivation in these books? How does he get all this stuff? And how accurate might it be? We'll get into that next on Wisconsin's Morning News. Traffic sponsored by the Shower Remodel Experts at Kohler Services, WI.com. So glad you're with us on Wisconsin's Morning News this Wednesday morning. Fascinating story that we've been covering, the release or impending release of Bob Woodward's latest book called War. Book is due out next week. You met him.
Yeah, so he was in town about a year ago. He appeared at UW-Milwaukee's Waukesha campus. So I got some FaceTime. Matt Smith from Channel 12 was there, too, a couple other reporters. So I was able to just get some one-on-one time with them. And, of course, Woodward made famous for breaking the Watergate scandal, which would lead to the resignation of President Richard Nixon at the time. He says, since then, lots of power for these presidents.
The power of the office and the presidency has increased substantially in that time. Each new president has new powers.
So Woodward, of course, I think one of the last times he made the news was just a couple of years ago. The Trump tapes, remember that? It was like 2019, 2020. Woodward spent a lot of time.
Right around the same time in the election cycle.
Right. And he spent a lot of time talking with Trump. And it broke some stories and news about what Trump was doing with the COVID-19 relief and what he was thinking of COVID and what was happening with that. And it didn't always share a lot of good detail about the former president. And what was fascinating about it was that one of his main sources for Trump tapes was Trump himself, because the former president oftentimes would just call reporters, not just Woodward, but he would call others too and just download and like share information to them. And that's a lot of how Woodward was able to get some of his content.
We would be at home that year and the phone would ring and we would think, is it one of our two daughters? Is it a friend? Is it a robocall? Or is it Donald Trump? And it would often be Donald Trump.
Was there a random time when Trump called, like middle of the night? Or
not the middle of the night, but late at night, 10 or 11 o'clock.
So what about these interviews? Of course, the new book is called War, and he's talked to all these different sources. He explained to me a year ago that a lot of that was just him listening. He'd have his list of questions, but the best interviewer isn't the one who's asking the questions. It's the one who's paying attention and listening to what the subject is saying.
You have to listen to the right hand and what the person being interviewed is saying, so you can ask follow-up questions. You can't just come in with 10 questions.
So when it comes to this book, you know, what some of the criticism of what we're learning about what's in this book already has been, well, where were you when this information was made readily available to you? You know, if Woodward was able to know some of these interesting tidbits and some of them more concerning tidbits, why didn't he report it at the time? That would be an interesting question to give him now. I'd love to ask him, like, is it fair to have the criticism that you're withholding information so you can profit off a book that you're selling versus what's better for the country to know things as it's happening?
You know, he maintains an association with the Washington Post, but he's not a regular writer for the Post. So I suppose that would be his argument. So I'm working on a book, and as it comes out, then I write these articles or I release things.
Well, do you think also like that some of these folks are willing to talk to him because they know that he's not like there might be an agreement? I'm not saying there is an agreement. We don't know.
There's always an agreement with a source with whom you're speaking. Yeah. Sometimes it's I want this on the record. Sometimes it's for attribution or non-attribution. Sometimes it's completely off the record. You know, whatever. And Eric, when you do interviews, when I do with a source, you get that clarified before you then begin asking your questions. What are the ground rules here? Because you're dealing with people who sometimes aren't willing to publicly state things. Okay?
Right, right.
So, right, to your point, is a condition with some of these sources that I'm not going to leak this out piece by piece. This isn't in tomorrow's paper. You can go ahead and put it in the larger context of your book, and I agree to that. And therefore, on that term, the terms of that condition, I'll go ahead and speak to you. I think that's very likely.
It is an interesting reminder that oftentimes what we think is the biggest story of the day or what is being led in the news and online and everywhere, oftentimes behind closed doors at the White House or in the Situation Room or at the Pentagon, they got a lot of other things going on that they're more worried right. about at that moment, not what's being on Good Morning America today.
So I've read, let me see, Woodward has the sort of the bookend of the Trump presidency trilogy. The books are Fear, Rage, and Peril. I've read the first in the series and the third in the series, and I'm partway through the middle one
okay.
at this point. And they're phenomenal reads. In terms of the accuracy, so like, how does he know this? How does he get this? And you heard, former President Trump is denying virtually everything that's been said about him in this latest book, for which he did not sit for an interview. Another important clarification. He did for Peril, I believe, the last book, but not this one. How Woodward does it is like a triangulation, if you will. So let's say it's you and me and Pancake and our boss, Mike Spaulding. We go up after the show, and I say something ridiculous. And you guys are interviewed by some journalist.
What did
right?
you say?
Right. And I'm not talking. You want me to give you an idea of something ridiculous? That doesn't sound like me that I would say anything.
Anyway, yes. So you say something.
If it were to be reported by another party, right, he would talk to you. He would talk to Pancake. He would talk to Spaulding. And with or without me, he would then, based on what you all told him, what are the commonalities so he can piece together this narrative based on three different sources, independent of one another, who basically set the stage for him. That's how it appears in his narrative that he's in the room with these folks. And in terms of whether you question the accuracy, I mean, I know conservatives are bent out of shape over some of the things that are in there about the former president. Look, and the same on the left. You have conversations that are reported that are existing only among Democrats or only among Republicans. So unless he's completely, totally bald-faced lying, some of this has to be true.
Right, right.
Or he wouldn't still be able to write these books. If conservatives are like, look, you blew me up last time, you mischaracterized everything I said, they wouldn't still be talking to him. So you either have to believe he's just making everything up from scratch, or is at least most of this is pretty but true.
Sometimes you wonder, too, if people talk to him because they want to be on the right side of history later on and make sure that they can get in front of any potential narrative that may make them look bad later.
Also fast.
I.e. Senator Graham. I mean, he might have wanted to jump down. Hey, sure, I'll talk to you. What do you want to know? I've known you a long time, Bob. Happy to share anything because I know you'll put it in the right way for me. You know, it's possible. Again, speculating. I have no idea. But that's possible.
Well, either way, I recommend them as reads. They're informative, and you can be speculative. You can question the truthiness of all the things in there, but they're fascinating reads. And the next one comes out next week, 8:32 on Wisconsin's Morning News.
The boarding up is taking place this morning before Hurricane Milton makes landfall either late tonight or early tomorrow morning on the west coast of Florida. A Category 3 or a Category 4 storm. Either way, it's bringing 15 inches of rain, 15 feet storm surge to the Tampa Bay area.
The current track takes it as a landfall just south of Tampa, which would be better for storm surge. But regardless, we're still forecasting up to 10 to 15 feet of storm surge in the Tampa Bay area. That is record-breaking.
That's ABC's Melissa Griffin there. So to give you some perspective, here's the mayor of Tampa.
If you're in a single-story house and we get a 15-foot surge, which means immediate, that water comes in immediately, there's nowhere to go. That home that you're in ultimately will be a coffin.
Your home
Man.
Will be a coffin.
This is the mayor who said the other day, you're going to die.
Yes.
If you're in one of these mandatory evacuation zones and you don't leave, you will die.
Yep, that was the push. So people are on their way out. People are trying to get out. Some say they're never coming back.
I'm out of here. I'm tired of Florida. I'm tired of hurricanes. I'm done.
Others don't really have a place to go.
I mean, we can leave, but you're looking at the interstate. By the time you find a place, it's no place. You can't go to Georgia. You can't go to Carolina. So you got to go west toward Pensacola, Panama City. I'm pretty sure all that's booked.
So as of now, people are either battening down or they're heading out. Very little gas left in many areas. The food, of course. That's the thing. You can bunker down and stay, but be prepared for A, no power, B, no water, and C, you better have enough food. Because if it's just a day's worth, that might not be enough.
Ain't no Grubhub today.
Yeah, right. And, yeah, no dining dash and all that kind of stuff. So that's kind of where it's at the moment. It's a wait as people try to get out. And we'll see if this thing is as catastrophic as the models, at least as of now, appear to be.
You know, long-range stories. What does this mean for Florida? Gordon Deal had a conversation this morning about housing prices in Florida. And in certain spots,
gets
how
it
they
for
are
a song
dropping.
Now. Yeah, you can buy something up.
And one of the reasons might be, like our guy here, who's like, I'm done with this. If, you know, every single summer or late fall, I have to start dealing with this, and it's maybe multiple storms, like, I'm done here.
Mm-hmm.
So it'd be interesting to see the long-term effect in Florida. Of course, what, are people not going to live in Florida? I mean, when it's good, it's really good.
Yeah, I was going to say, people do appreciate when it's not a hurricane.
843 on Wisconsin's Morning News. What do you see on the roads, Deb?
Well, we've got delays. Couple of accidents still up on the board that we're dealing with. One on 94 eastbound, right about at Mitchell Boulevard. From what I can see, I think they may have already cleared that. So, yay. All right. So, we've got still delays, though, from 84th Street all the way through the stadium. And then the other one on northbound 43, the Rock Freeway, where the right lane was blocked to get onto 894 northbound. I think that one might be cleared as well. At least I'm not seeing really any delays with this. So, just keep that in mind, though. If you are heading through there and might see a little bit of a tap of the brakes, that's probably why. Otherwise, eastbound 894 backed up from 92nd Street past Loomis. Southbound 43 is going to be a bit tight from Silver Spring down past Capitol Drive. I'm Debbie Lozago with your WTMJ Johnson & Sons Paving Time Saver Traffic.
The status quo prevails, or as Brett Favre once said, no change. Protests, demonstrations, public comment, point of order even, at a Wausau Common Council meeting.
We're doing a press conference. Hey.
Denny protesters and Denny supporters lined the sidewalk for over an hour, many wearing hard hats.
We support Doug! We support Doug!
That's a report from WAOW-TV, Wausau. Demonstrators and counter-demonstrators outside City Hall prior to the Common Council meeting, where the issue of the hottest ballot drop box in the state, maybe the nation, was to come before that august body. Play the opening.
Bureaucracy, legislation, red tape.
I'm so bored.
Doesn't anything fun happen here?
When you work for the local government, doing the bare minimum is doing your part.
It's time to take another visit to City Hall.
So let's back up quickly to fill you in. Mayor Doug Denny, in an effort to show the city's lone ballot drop box was not properly secured when placed in front of City Hall for the November election, donned a hard hat and wheeled it into his office on a dolly. So he did that, and for that, he is under investigation for potential election fraud by the State Department of Justice. Entirely separate issue, though, as that no new developments on that front at this point. The separate issue is, okay, what do you do with the box now?
I feel like you're just trying to expand this problem and make it bigger, and I feel terrible for this community that we are this divided.
It's absolutely insane. You guys are trying to penalize, and you guys are trying to kick this guy out of office, Mayor Denny here. I think he's done a fantastic job. I mean, you look at it, I don't think the clerk did her job.
Just a sampling of the public comment at that Common Council meeting.
Just a taste of it? Okay.
That was a report by WSAW-TV, also in Wausau. About two dozen people addressed the Common Council. So what was playing out here is the council was initially asked to consider removing the drop box altogether. Mayor Denny, whom I spoke of earlier, said, look, New Berlin, Brookfield, those Common Councils weighed in and decided we're not having drop boxes.
Which was their right to.
Right. And so he wanted the council to address it one way or another. His initial suggestion was we don't have the box. Maybe he didn't think he had the votes, but for whatever reason, he then amended that request and rather wanted the council to consider enhanced security around the ballot drop box. He wants better lighting. He wants a better surveillance camera so the box can be, in his idea, more secure. The mayor now at this point is standing in front of the council. He's trying to do his pitch. I don't know if he meant to speak on the matter. The mayor doesn't run the council. The council runs the council. They're separate entities. He's demanding action on this proposal.
Point of order.
Thank you.
What is your point of order? The point of order is you're out of order. It's not on the agenda.
Yeah, you're out of order.
You are.
Oh, boy.
here's the mayor. He's walking around. He's holding up some paper.
He's got a microphone. He's carrying. Yeah.
And here's the common cause. Point of order. I like that. That's I'm kind of wonky on parliamentary procedure.
You like that? You want that to be? You don't bend around that unless it's done correctly.
You can call point of order, which can interrupt any proceedings, because a point of order is like, hey, we're not doing this right in the procedure as our rules go to do these things. So the council member's point was, we're not taking this up, and that's up to us. We're not addressing this issue. So that's ultimately what came of it. There was public testimony. There was this proposal. The council just flat didn't take it up. So the Dropbox stays as is for now. It was also reported by that reporter for WSAW that many people at the meeting weren't even from Wausau.
Well, you saw that coming a mile away.
I mean, the story was in the New York Times. So obviously it has a lot of attention. So, but for the common council, it seems everybody has a take on it.
And it was bolted down now.
It is now, yes.
So it could not be removed again.
So that's where it stands. The box is, as its revised position is, yes, now bolted. Perhaps not light enough, perhaps not videoed enough as the mayor would like.
Would you put your ballot in it now after all the attention?
After all this? God knows what's going to happen on that thing. Expect someone to dynamite it next. So the council decided not to decide, which, you know, as the Rush lyrics state, if you choose not to decide, you still have made a choice.
WTMJ W277CV and WKTI HD2 Milwaukee from the Annex Wealth Management Studios. This is News Radio WTMJ, a Good Karma Brand station.
I wish I could tell you. WTMJ Forecast is sponsored by Dave Drake Camp Heating, where your comfort is their family's tradition. I found the rainy.
Yeah, when is it?
In the five-day forecast from TMJ4, we have one day where there's a chance of scattered showers. Of course, it's on the weekend. It's Sunday.
Ah, okay.
But at this point, just a chance of scattered showers on Sunday. Sunday looks cooler than it's been. Sunday's high, only 59 degrees. We got a high of 70 today, 75 Thursday, high 80 on Friday, back down to the mid-60s for Saturday.
Speaking of rain, they sure made it rain in Vegas.
In true Las Vegas fashion, there was music. Hundreds of drones. A flashy fireworks show. And then a countdown preceding the implosion of the Tropicana. The casino that opened in 1957 was demolished early this morning to make space for a 33,000-seat Major League Baseball stadium for the Oakland A's. Stacy Lynn, CBS News.
This celebration, it's still going on.
Is it, though?
That was the spectacle beyond all spectacles. I'm shocked that, like, Elton John didn't show up in some fashion. Just the amount of fireworks that they played after they demolished the casino.
Right, because blowing up a building is not cool enough by itself.
And then they had drones of, like, the A's logo floating over the area.
It's pretty cool.
They were throwing money around. No money.
You know what else I caught in there? How many did she say? Did you catch that? How many she said would be seated in the stadium?
I didn't.
33,000.
Not very many.
That's not very many. American Family Field, we get up to 44, maybe even squeeze in 45.
It's perfect for Vegas, so. Right.
Interesting.